Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The Commerce Department today says that the U.S. trade deficit widened in April as demand for foreign cars, cell phones, and other imported goods outpaced growth in U.S. exports. The trade gap rose 8.5% in April from March to $40.3 billion. Exports increased 1.2% to $187.4 billion. That's the second highest on record. But imports grew at an even faster 2.4% pace to $227.7 billion. Yesterday afternoon, after the closing bell, NAS released its latest crop progress report for the week ending June the 2nd. The numbers look like this. 91% of the corn crop is planted versus 86% last year, and the five-year rolling average of 95%. 74% of the corn crop has emerged versus 54% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 82%. Corn conditions, these are the first of the season, 11% excellent, 52% good, 23% fair, 4% poor, and 1% very poor. 57% of soybeans are planted versus 44% last week, and the five-year rolling average is 74%. 31% of soybeans have emerged versus 14% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 49%. Japan said yesterday it will hold back shipments of some wheat imports as Monsanto continues an investigation into the discovery of an unapproved genetically engineered wheat strain at an Oregon farm. Monsanto said that its internal analysis suggests the wheat likely did not come from seed left in the soil or from pollen drifting from other fields. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 15,280, is up 26.5 points. The NASDAQ sitting 34.73, up just over 8. And the S&P 500 is 16.43. It's up 3.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Additional rain will likely come and go across the Midwest as we move forward through the next week to 10 days, but the key to successful farming activity will be the temperatures across many areas. The first round of precipitation to impact the region is already moving into the western Corn Belt, and as we go through the next 2 days, we'll likely see rain a little bit on the widespread side across a large part of the Midwest. The new rainfall is not necessarily going to be heavy in very many areas, but there are two regions of greater precipitation that will occur. The first is expected to be in the upper parts of the Midwest, from eastern North Dakota into parts of Wisconsin. That will occur as we move through the day today and into the night tonight. A second area of rainfall that might be a little bit more significant will be from Kansas and parts of Missouri, beginning sometime tonight and continuing on Wednesday through a fair amount of the Ohio River Basin. The precipitation that occurs in these southern areas will run a half inch to an inch, perhaps. There will be some locally greater amounts in a few locations. Further to the north, though, in the heart of the Midwest, from parts of Iowa into Michigan and northern Ohio, there may only be light amounts of rain, a few hundredths of an inch to a half inch, with maybe an isolated three-quarter inch amount, perhaps. The precipitation is not going to be all that impressive in those areas, and there will be an opportunity for some improved field working conditions to evolve as we move into the latter part of this week. Places like Iowa may get 3 or 4 days without meaningful precipitation, but the temperatures will be held down, and because of that, the evaporation rates will be low, so those areas that are still very wet across the state will likely have to use up a couple of those drier days, just waiting for the fields to firm up enough so that fieldwork can resume. However, there will be field progress made not only in Iowa, but in many other areas that have been wet recently. The field progress is certainly not going to be aggressive, and we would not expect to see all fieldwork coming to an end by this time next week under these circumstances. But some progress will occur, and the need for greater warming and drying will likely remain as we move on into the middle part of this month. Now, the pattern is going to change somewhat next week, with a little ridge of high pressure beginning to build into the western portions of the U.S. plains. That high pressure system will do two things for the Midwest. Number one, it will allow for some warmer air to work its way into the western and southern parts of the Midwest. And secondly, it will produce some additional shower and thunderstorm activity over the top of the ridge and down the front side, which means parts of the Midwest will still be subjected to periodic rainfall, not only next week, but perhaps into the third week of the three-week forecast period, and we'll likely see the temperatures still struggling in the eastern parts of the region to get as warm as some producers would like to see it. Now, that means mostly Michigan. We'll look for high temperatures across a big part of the region here today and tomorrow to run mostly in the 70s and some lower 80s. We'll look for the warmest conditions over these two-day period to be in the lower eastern portions of the Midwest starting tomorrow and maybe continuing on Thursday with upper 70, lower 80 degree readings expected. In contrast to that, afternoon temperatures today and tomorrow in the upper parts of the Midwest will only be in the 60s, with a handful of 50-degree readings possible tomorrow afternoon in parts of Minnesota, Wisconsin, and the western Great Lakes region. We'll look for some of that cooler air to work its way through the rest of the Midwest, but moderate as it does, so 60 and 70-degree readings will occur as we move from Thursday into Friday. Next week is when we'll see a little bit of a warmer bias evolving across parts of the region and a little better drying conditions between rain events, but by no means should you assume that that means drier weather for all areas across the region. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's go and see how futures are currently trading in Kansas City. July wheat, 747 down 4.5. July wheat in Chicago is 705.5, down 3.25. July corn, 654.25, down 1.5. December, 551, down 9. July soybeans are 1526.5, down 6. November, 1312.75, now 0.5, down 13. July soybean meal at 453.60, down 80 cents. July soybean oil, 48.36, down 30. June live cattle, 120.80, up 7.5. August feeders, 145.10, up 67.5. And June lean hogs are 96.17.5, and they are up 35. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Guess what comes up, goes down, hook reversal lower in December corn yesterday. A little bit of follow through today, down another 12.75 cents. Are we putting in a little bit of an early June high?
I think we probably are. We ran corn up 60 cents in a short period of time, ran beans up over $1.50, and a little bit of profit taking. Weather forecasts aren't as wet as they had been. We need drying out so we can finish corn planting and finish bean planting. If we have normal weather, we can still have a $2 billion or close to that carry out in corn and a $300 million in beans.
Should traders have some concern that so many beans remain unplanted? I guess it would be 43%, and then the amount of beans that have not yet emerged, if you include the two, is a lot of, it would be a lot of beans at this point.
A lot of beans, not planted, a lot of corn acreage. If you look at the total, you know, 9% of 97 million is 8.5 million acres. And how much of that will be planted, how much of it will go to beans. General thing is 1 to 3 million will go to beans from the corn. But that should be a concern because it does cut yield. It's so wet that if without rain, we might not get in for a week. And if it does rain, it might be 10 days before we can get in.
So we're looking maybe potentially at another rally later on into the growing season.
Right. I think we could easily have that. But once you do have numbers like 91% planted, and if we get something done this week on beans anywhere, those numbers make people tend to think, oh, we're going to be all right. We'll have normal weather, blah, blah, blah. And it shoves it back down, especially after the big move up of, you know, 60 plus on corn and $1.50 on beans.
Do you expect that much new crop corn was sold or was hedged or was sold and then had a paper? What happened this past week? Was there much movement?
I think there was more than expected of people selling when we got over the 560 area, and then especially when we got over 570 on corn. There are still people holding out for more. There's people talking $7 corn. I don't know if that's a possibility. And on, I think, old crop, they got a lot of old crop bought in the last 10 days in both corn and beans.
Thank you, Pete.
Thank you, Dave.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, July corn, is 6.54 down one, now 53 and three quarters, down two. December is 5.51 and a quarter, down 8 3/4. July soybeans are 15.25 and three quarters, down 6 3/4. November is 13.11 and a half, down 14. July soybean meal, 4.53.30, down 1.10. And July soybean oils, 48.35, down 31. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.